Hi there, and welcome to the Lifestyle Accountant Show. I'm Meryl Johnston, your host, and this podcast exists to help today's accounting firm owners build successful firms while also living a healthy, happy life without sacrificing sleep, your weekends, or time with loved ones. On today's episode, we're talking about how to invest in your remote workforce by running an epic team retreat.
The key parts is connection. Now, as a remote business, we have a lot of freedom that's in the way we build our business currently, but there's just a level of connection that you don't get until you're face-to-face.
Our guest for today is Sean Stubley. Sean is an escaped mid-tier accountant who co-founded Air Accounting in 2016, intent on creating a business model that valued strong organizational management, removed the billable hour, and created value for clients beyond traditional compliance services. Sean and his team have always tried to have regular team retreats, although, like many of us, those efforts were interrupted by COVID. They recently held a team retreat in the Philippines for over 20 team members. I chat with Sean to get the lowdown about that retreat and understand what his objectives were, the logistics and agenda, and what he would change next time, what he would keep the same, how to engineer the retreat so that most of the team can be offline and not needing to respond to clients or do client work during the retreat, factors to consider when choosing the right accommodation to encourage collaboration, team building activities, and how much time to spend on work topics compared to building relationships and connecting. And then we wrap things up by getting Sean's take on the advice he would give to an accounting firm leader who's thinking about putting together a team retreat in the next 12 months. All that and more coming right up on the Lifestyle Accountant Show. This podcast is brought to you by TeamUp, helping you to recruit rockstar Filipino accounting staff without the ongoing BPO fees, and Anitcho, Australia's leading e-signature provider. I'll be sharing more about my experiences with these products later in the show. Hey, Sean, welcome to the podcast.
Nice to be here, Meryl.
So we're here today to chat about team retreats. But before we dive into that, can you tell us a little bit about Air Accounting, your team, what the business is all about?
Yeah, so Air Accounting started 7 years ago. My wife and I started it as co-founders. We were working with Yellow Brick Road at the time. We were both looking to try something a bit different from the partnership structures that we'd been used to. So I spent 9 years at PKF/BDO, sweating my way through the ranks, as I call it, in that space. So yeah, we started 7 years ago with just the goal to run it like a business and less like a firm. So really strong decision-making and organizational management, and then have services that are very much fully outsourced finance team, bookkeeping through to some advisory or CFO services so that we can provide as much value as we can for the small, medium business that wants to grow.
I know that's not the topic for today, but I think the way you structure your team is really interesting. So could you explain the difference between a typical accounting firm structure and then how you've structured your leadership team and the different, I don't know if you call them divisions or departments, but the way you've structured that and how it's different to a typical accounting firm partnership structure?
Yeah, good question. So it's functional, which is a similar word to divisional, but I think there's just something about the word division that rubs me the wrong way. But yeah, if clients work with us, they need to engage with each function within that business. So if they want to work with accounts, bookkeeping, payroll, they need to engage that team. And that team's called Air Accounts in our business. And if they want to, if they want tax work or BAS work or compliance services, they need to engage with Air Compliance. And if they want reporting, forecasting, future focus work, then they need to engage with our Air CFO team. So the difference is that there's a head of each of those teams, and so their relationship exists with, if they're engaged in all three services, with three people in that case, whereas in a lot of partnerships or traditional firms, it's their relationship is with the partner at the top, and there'll be principal, senior manager, assistant manager, senior accountant, junior accountant, all these steps, and the work kind of filters down in a pyramid type flow. And my experience is that creates a bit of hierarchies, and the way work flows through the business and the way that the team works with each other, we keep it a bit more simple under each of those teams. There's preparer functions and there's reviewer functions. So what is your role with the client? Are you preparing the work or are you reviewing the work that's been prepared? And then so rather than having all these different hierarchies or levels, there's a relationship at the head level, and then the preparers and the reviewers also do work and engage with the clients as well, but not in the way we found with kind of mid-tier firms that I worked at.
And so who manages the customer relationship? So if there was an issue around scope or there was a delay or a deliverable wasn't met, say within Air Accounts, who would handle that? And what about if it was cross-functional? So it actually partly was accounts, but then the BAS didn't get lodged on time. Not saying that your business would do that, but just as an example of how would the problem get solved or who would be responsible in that, because this is a slightly different structure than many listeners would be familiar with.
Yeah, so it requires a lot of collaboration to start with. So running this model needs exceptional collaboration, and then the tech's a big part of that. So Carbon's a solution that we're very fond of, and the way that it allows collaboration between those teams on the client. So the clients, you're normally dealing with clients by phone or by email, and Carbon allows commenting across teams on those emails where the client's not interacting with those comments, but the teams are. So deliverables are really clear and very strong on having accountability to one person for each deliverables. And they can engage teams as they like, but they're responsible for making sure deliverables happen. So that's the key part of it. And then the second part is just that collaboration. So if there's a bookkeeping issue that relates to a BAS that needs to get done, that collaboration needs to be really strong to make sure that happens.
And the listeners might be thinking, well, how does this relate to team retreats? But I think it's important to get an understanding of your team and how it works to then understand what would be the purpose of bringing people together for a retreat in the Philippines. And that's because you have a significant number of team members in the Philippines working across some of these different functions. So could you describe how many people you have in the Philippines and what kind of roles they have?
Yeah, we got a team of about 20 in the Philippines at the moment. It grows pretty quickly. We're pretty much constantly hiring at this point and really trying to build strong resources around recruitment and a brand presence in that space as well. So bookkeeping's the biggest part of that team and the fastest growing team. And that was our original focus on entering the Philippines. Was we wanted really good bookkeepers and did a bit of work in Australia around finding people that we wanted. Didn't quite work in terms of what they wanted from us, what we wanted from them. And so we started exploring the Philippines on that basis. But now they're across all of our business. So we have administrative team members in the Philippines. We have bookkeepers. We have tax compliance experts. We have reporting experts. We have a team member that runs all our business intelligence reporting internally. Yeah, across all the business, and both preparers, reviewers, they engage with the clients to certain levels as well. So yeah, they're big part of our team. And yeah, currently we have more team members in the Philippines than in Australia. So it's a big part of our culture.
Yeah. And just quickly, what do you look for when you're hiring a bookkeeper?
Yeah, interesting. So originally it was just culture and ability to learn. We now have, since I was moved out of the recruitment space, so we hired a full-time people and talent partner in Australia to help build our recruitment business. And so our head of our accounts team does a lot of work in the recruitment space. So we'll use the Xero demo file. And during the interview, I just talked to the candidate about, all right, so the client's now setting up a salary sacrifice program. Can you go set this up in the demo file? So just real life examples and using a live demo file so that we're not working with pre-prepared questions. And it's really just a matter of checking they've had experience in Australian concepts that come up day to day in the work that we do.
Interesting. When we were hiring bookkeepers in Australia, we'd hire people with bookkeeping experience. But now in the Philippines, we hire often CPAs or accountants, but then we also look for them to have worked in an Australian firm for a couple of years, ideally in some kind of bookkeeping role, but sometimes tax is fine as well. And then we retrain them. But I think it's interesting because we actually look for a different profile of accountant when we're hiring for a bookkeeping driven business as well. That's how we started out. Let's jump into the team retreat topic. What was your objective? Why did you want to have a team retreat? And can you tell me, once you've explained the why, tell me a little bit more about it. When was it? Where? All of the details.
Yeah, so it's a big part of our culture. So it's built into our whole ethos that we have an annual retreat. We'd had two of these before COVID and, a three-year absence during COVID. And so this year was just real pent-up kind of willingness and keenness to really get the team together and working with people day-to-day that you haven't seen in person and haven't been able to build that extra energy with the team. We're all really looking forward to. The key parts is connection. Now, as a remote business, we have a lot of freedom that's in the way we build our business currently, but there's just a level of connection that you don't get until you're face-to-face. And I always use the analogy of on other aspects of business, like if you're doing a negotiation and you're trying to do it on Zoom, you miss a lot. So you've got the person's face and you've got what they're saying, but you can miss their body language. You can miss all the other aspects and just building connections and multiple levels that you don't get. We're certainly trying to do as much we can in the remote space to build connection through the team on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, but you're just not getting that. So connection was a big thing. The second one is celebration. We run the team in a way where we're trying to teach our team members what the business is, and we treat it more like a game. What are the rules of the game? How do we win the game? What's the score at any point in time? And that's providing really good reporting around how the business is doing and what's going on outside of their role, and then helping the team understand their role. That's all what happens during, but a really big part of running the team that way is celebrating when you have wins. So yeah, we had a really successful year last year and we just want to make sure we were celebrating. A big part was just getting together, celebrating, and that meant the day we landed in the Philippines, there's a lot of travel, everyone's done a fair bit of travel, and we got to the venue that evening and that night was just a big themed party. So just wild celebrations, just really everyone connecting, being really happy in each other's presence and spending time together.
Amazing. And I can relate to both of those themes around connecting and celebration. We had a similar experience where during COVID we had to stop. So our last retreat was in 2019. And prior to that, we'd done, I wouldn't even call them retreats. They were just mini meetups where we'd get a couple of team members that might live in different countries together. So there's an annual conference we go to in Bangkok. So we'd fly in some team members there to meet up. We've at different points, we've had our US and UK team members fly out and spend a couple of weeks on the Gold Coast, but we hadn't done the full team event. So in 2019, pre-COVID, we had a retreat on the Gold Coast. Well, it was actually people flew to the Gold Coast and then we drove to Kingscliff and stayed in a house there. And I think there was about eight of us. So just the leadership team and same sort of thing, just having that time together in person connecting was just fantastic. There's just something that you can't recreate on a Zoom call when you're walking on the beach with someone, having a chat or having dinner. And so we're actually planning a retreat in the Philippines later this year, which is partly why I wanted to chat to you. That'll be our first time running an event there, and that will be a full team retreat rather than just the leadership team. So let's dive into some of the logistics a bit more. Can you talk about where you held the event, how many days, a bit of a rough overview of the agenda?
Yeah, so we held it in the Batangas in the Philippines. So this is south of Manila, but on the main island. And a lot of that focus was around making it easy enough for everyone to get there. So we're conscious of how many different flights and the transport logistics are making that happen. And there might have been a flaw in some ways that probably on our post-retreat feedback, one of two things that we could have improved was the location could have been a bit more on the luxurious side. Like it certainly wasn't not luxurious, but it was more like a Bali-esque beach retreat resort. But the beach was a bit more like volcanic ash kind of beach where it's a lot more fun and games and that kind of thing, but it's less Instagram worthy kind of cash sand than maybe the white sands of Boracay or certain places like that. Yeah, so that was the location that we ended up on, but it still worked really well. A big part of that was having a resort that fostered collaboration and connection. We didn't want a place where people would go to their rooms and stay in their cliques and not naturally interact. And around the structure of the retreat, we're running with the kind of ethos that it needed to be planned, but fairly unstructured. We find that just interactions between team members, where it's just running into each other, sitting around the pool, morning walks, sitting around bonfires, just having karaoke in a bus, those kind of things is where you're building really strong connections with two or three people rather than trying to structure so much during the retreat that it's back-to-back events. People are walking away fatigued out of these retreats rather than really enlivened with the connection that they've established between fellow team members.
Yeah, I've had a similar experience around planning too much and just a jam-packed schedule, whereas actually that's something I would do differently next time is have more of a relaxed schedule, but still a little bit of structure so that you're fostering those connections where people can bump into each other, but it's not all structured with a strict agenda and sessions. So did you run your retreat, was that midweek or over a weekend?
A bit of both. It was Thursday to Sunday. This was a big part, running a multidisciplinary accounting business that's different deadlines, you know, so bookkeeping deadlines, tax deadlines, reporting deadlines. Worked out, well, it can't be the start of the month because there's too many reporting deadlines, and it can't be at a certain tax period where there's so many tax deadlines. And so we ended up the end of November. The last week in November was a really good space to run it. And so we agreed on a kind of Thursday to Sunday. Sunday's pretty much just pack up goodbyes and travel. And same with Wednesdays, a little bit just travel. But so a bit of both, 2 days off work and 2 days just across the weekend to spend more time.
And how did you manage if everyone in the team, was everyone in the team completely off on the Thursday and Friday, or was someone checking email or responding to clients? How did you balance that? Okay, we're on a retreat, but there's still a business to run and there's client expectations or potentially some kind of fire that needs to be put out.
Yeah, so the intent was completely offline. And a way we helped facilitate that was our email signatures a month leading up to the retreat was the team is going to be offline these days. Please advise as soon as possible if you were something's going to be up and coming on those weeks. So that solved a lot of things around the air compliance team, the SCFO team. With the accounts team and the bookkeeping team, there's weekly deadlines week after week that you'd be familiar with. So that team, the head of that team gets together with team and goes, all right, these are all our deadlines. These are our work items. Bring it up in a carbon kind of dashboard that sees exactly where that is. All right, which ones can we bring forward? Which ones can we defer? And then what have we got left? And then we work on a little bit of just calling clients and saying, hey, this is coming up. Is it necessary? Is it not? And the only caveat to that is that we had two team members that couldn't come to the retreat. And so we just did a deal with them where they covered the emergencies, which didn't end up being too much. And they had a few days off on their own afterwards.
And I'm not sure whether it's similar with your team and ours, but many of our team members are young mums. So they have families and young children. And so that's something we're trying to think through of, okay, if we want them to fly somewhere, how are they going to manage the family side of things? And that's a consideration we're having in, is it a weekend? Do partners come? Do they not? Is it midweek? Was that relevant for your team? And if it was, how did you manage that?
Yeah, it's relevant. Yeah. So our business is 75% female and a lot of team members in that 25 to 35 age group. So it's very relevant for us. And yeah, one of the team members that didn't come was a new mum and she just didn't feel comfortable at that time in her life. And that's fine. And one of the others was a new mum and was comfortable. So she came and we just made sure that she had the time she needed to express milk and had a freezer that she could freeze milk and probably going too far into it, but you know what I mean? Making sure that she felt as comfortable as she could in that space in being there. We ended up going with a no partner, no families on those 3 days, so the Thursday to Saturday. If team members wanted to extend afterwards or before and have families in and around, that was absolutely no problem. We just, this time we decided 25 to 30 team members, we haven't seen each other for 3 years. We really want to connect at a deep level. And because it was really about a lot of that connection just happens sitting around playing cards, having some drinks or just sitting around a bonfires. There's even something just about sharing breakfast with your team members. Like we do lunch and you have occasionally dinners with work, but I'm not sure what it is, but something about you just in the morning, you don't normally share breakfast with a team. And I think there was a lot of good connection that happened in that space. Just coffee and a bit of rice and eggs in the Philippines was a good place to connect with different people each morning.
Yeah, great. All right, well, I'll jump into just a bit of an overview of how we ran our retreat in Australia that might be relevant for some listeners who are looking at running something locally. So we looked at a hotel, but actually then because we were a fairly small group, decided on getting a big house instead. We couldn't get individual bedrooms for everybody. So there's a few people sharing, but lots of bathrooms. And the primary purpose was so that we could cook together. So we had a barbecue one night and just a lot of that impromptu, those little breakout spaces. So that house had a pool, lots of different living areas, a deck. And so with a small group, that worked well for us. I'd say once you'd get up to probably 12 people, then a house like that wouldn't work. But for small groups, that worked nicely because it was a luxurious house, the private pool, and it felt like we had a lot of privacy. We flew everyone to the Gold Coast and then had a van where we could get around. And that was actually quite fun, being in the van and going off to gin tastings and going off to different activities. Some of us lived locally and had young kids. And so a couple of us didn't stay there and would drive back during the day. And so feedback from the team was that they would have preferred it if everyone was staying there, all of the meals and the breakfast and that kind of thing. So that's something we would look at for next time. And probably the other main feedback was that the schedule was too jam-packed. So we were trying to do too many work sessions. We had different themed topics and different discussion groups. And I think the purpose was connection, not actually trying to discuss these work-related topics. And so we overdid it on that, and I'd do that differently. This podcast is brought to you by TeamUp, helping you to recruit rockstar Filipino accounting staff without the ongoing BPO fees. We've had Filipino accountants on the Bean Ninjas team for about 4 or 5 years, but my experience with BPOs has been average at best. When COVID hit and our BPO team moved to remote work, we started to question the value of paying an ongoing monthly fee for every team member, particularly as we had a couple of years of experience now working with an offshore team and no longer needed all of the support that a BPO can provide. TeamUp provides fixed price recruitment with no ongoing fees. It costs around $3,000 for them to run the end-to-end hiring process. That starts with creating an attractive job ad, promoting it on multiple platforms, attracting hundreds of candidates which they vet and interview and test, and ultimately they present the top 3 candidates for you to interview. We've just hired our first accountant in the Philippines with TeamUp. The process took about 5 weeks from beginning to end and saved our manager in the Philippines hours and hours of time. It's a busy time of year for us, and constantly hiring was taking her away from other valuable work like reviewing client files and also managing our team in the Philippines. TeamUp also offers an employer of record service through their partners, and that takes care of the compliance side of things. So next time you're looking to hire a rockstar accountant in the Philippines, check out hireteamup.com. That's H-I-R-E, TeamUp, T-E-A-M-U-P.com. Now let's hear from one of our sponsors, Anitra, Australia's leading e-signature provider. I've used a range of different e-signature solutions over the years. At one point, we had 3 or 4 different DocuSign accounts floating around at Bean Ninjas, which had been set up by different team members. Sometimes we had a bunch of documents that needed signing, and at other times we didn't. And as an accountant, it annoys me to pay for something that we weren't always using. When I heard that Anitra had simple pay-as-you-go pricing and they understood the accounting industry, I had to check it out. It was super easy to set up an account and send out my first agreement for signing. Bonus, it meets the identity verification standards of the ATO and Tax Practitioners Board. So next time you are looking into an e-signature solution, give Anitra a go. So I've put together a list of rapid fire topic questions about retreats. Some of these we've covered a little bit already, so feel free to skip over them if we have, but let's dive in. So first up is venue.
Yeah, so Batangas in Philippines, and it was a resort. We looked at Airbnb type options, and our admin team made a call that they wanted to organize a bit less. So the resort was small enough that we occupied the majority of the resort and had our own space that was really the whole thing was ours, but the team didn't have to do as much of cooking, cleaning, admin during the process.
Yeah. And that was one of the downsides, that we did need to do a bit more of the cooking and shopping and tidying up, but you still can have a pretty good chat washing dishes or preparing meals, but a very bigger group, I don't think that would work. What about rooming together? Were your team members in shared rooms, or did everyone have their own?
It's a bit of a mix, yeah. So we put out a bit of a survey at the start to get feedback on different things, and we found the Philippines team really wanted to share rooms, and Australian team members were a bit more indifferent. There was a mixture of responses. So yeah, we ended up just facilitating that and having a mix. And I think you find when you're looking at options, a lot of resorts have those mix. You know, they'll have single people rooms, they'll have multi-bedrooms, and so it works.
That was what I'd heard as well culturally, that it was common in the Philippines for people to share together. They actually might enjoy that, having someone in the room to walk to the next location with. All right, what about team building activities?
Yeah, there was a bit. So we had a lot of Filipino traditional team building, which was like on a beach running games that, when I read the descriptions, I'm like, that sounds really corny.
Yeah.
And when you do it, it's the amount of excitement, the level of enjoyment that the whole team got and the competitive spirits that come out, because we do run our business like a bit of a game and everyone's quite competitive. And so it really brought a lot of enjoyment to the team. And then we had prizes and different things around that as well. We had a quiz night that we'd organized on one of the evenings. We had a bit of a photo shoot as well, which again, the Philippines team got into to a next level above the Australian team, that they really loved that space and having that time. We had an auction. So one thing we do as a cultural aspect with our team is we have a thing called Aircoin, which is a currency that we have. And so team members that are displaying our values during the year can earn Aircoin. And also just we have fortnightly team meetings and there's games at the end of each of those team meetings and the winners get Aircoin as well. So at the end of the year at the retreat, everyone has a certain amount of coin and then we auction off items. There was, you know, various home appliances and gadgets and tech items and food items. And I think the biggest thing was a TV. And so just created a whole nother aspect. And our team just went to the next level of getting a big hammer and setting it up like an auction and giving everyone paddles with their numbers on it and that kind of thing.
What a great idea.
Yeah, so we did that. One other thing I'd recommend is actually we had something called Open Air as well, which was we got a consultant in to develop more of a relationship building, connecting at quite a deep personal level. So you were just paired up one-on-one around the bonfire and just went off to a separate space and you were just given a card with three questions. And they were quite personal questions, but the team really embraced it and you got to understand with the person. So you did it with three different people, just things about where they grew up, what they value personally outside of work, what makes them outside of work. We're quite big on work not being your identity. And so we want to know what makes you outside of work. So yeah, that was something else we did.
With our activities, we planned different things like yoga and some games, but we didn't do really structured team building. But I think with the small group, it seemed to work well. We had a lot of laughs it was around Christmas time. So some Secret Santa type games and board games, and then just doing activities together like yoga or going to the beach. But I think with the retreat in the Philippines, I understand that the Filipinos love the team building activities. So I think we'll be planning a few things like that too. We also had a videographer filming for 2 days. So our retreat started on a Tuesday and then we had full days Wednesday, Thursday, and then everyone flew home Friday. And it was awesome getting the footage, but it actually, I think it took up quite a lot of time interviewing different people for the video, trying to capture things and set things up. So it was good getting the video afterwards, but I think detracted from the experience. There's a lot of waiting around with that. So I think next time, if we were to have a videographer, they'd just film what we were doing, but wouldn't do so many interviews and we wouldn't have so much time allocated to that. What about different sessions, or did you have any presentations or any work topics or discussions?
We didn't have any work specific in terms of let's get everyone together and work out what we're going to do next quarter or next year or that. But the one thing we did have was a presentation, which was myself and Ben from our team, who do less of the client work these days and act more in the kind of CEO type managing director roles. And we just presented on two things. So one, on the vision and where we're at and where we're going for next year. And two, we had an employee engagement survey a couple of months before the retreat. And so we really wanted to digest that and articulate back to the team what we'd heard from them as a group. And it was overall really good feedback, but there were a couple of things that we thought we'd done really well. And there were multiple people in the team that didn't agree on certain aspects. So we were talking through what we plan to do to address those things.
Yeah, great. And I've mentioned our retreat was a bit too content heavy. It did work well in that we broke off into smaller groups to to talk about particular things. So there'd be a little discussion group about onboarding, and then there'd be someone from sales, someone from onboarding, and then someone that might represent customer experience. And so they were collaborating. And so that was good. I think it was useful having some small group discussions with people that needed to collaborate, but yeah, we did too much of that. So I'll change that up next time. I think you mentioned to me previously that music was a nice connector. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was a surprising aspect, I think. Maybe it shouldn't be surprising that the music connects people, but just a little moment. So, you know, there is different cultures in different countries. And I think there was long bus trips at certain points, a couple of hours in the Philippines it takes to get anywhere, really. So having spontaneous karaoke moments through the team, being able to share songs from different team members that they like, and actually finding that a lot of people actually like the same music, regardless of where they've come from, but also learning a little specific Filipino local artists as well. That was a big thing. At the trivia night, we had a section on music, and that was playing a lot of songs and playing snippets of songs and team guessing them, and just found that within 10 seconds of a song that the team just started erupting in singing the whole song, and certain nostalgic things like Boys to Men or those type of songs, you just end up just letting the whole song play out so that you could capture that moment and the team could live it.
Yeah, amazing. So I know we've covered a lot of ground, but is there anything that you do differently next time, or any unforeseen challenges or difficulties that others might be able to learn from if they're planning to run a retreat?
Philippines specific, the transport's important. I'd go to the next level of spending more money on bus transport. I'd let the local admin team organise that part, because they obviously can make phone calls quite easily and arrange that. And when the buses ended up coming, it was a bit less luxurious than the team was thinking, and it was a bit tighter than the team was thinking. So it was a little bit too jammed in for a 2-3 hour bus trip in a very hot city. In some ways, that helps everyone bond very closely and not take themselves too seriously. But it was also quite interesting to see a lot of the Australian team members that are over 6 foot cramped up a little bit for a couple of hours. So I'd probably pay more attention to just that aspect. That was the second item on the feedback survey that wasn't quite up to scratch. Everything else got 5 stars. What else differently? One thing I didn't appreciate as much as I should have was during the hottest part of the day, Australians love to get out and be in the sun. And I think we'd had a pretty average summer or spring in Sydney, so we were just dying for sunshine. And so we were all out by the pool, and we'd organize like a mocktails and cocktails event by the pool, and then one of the afternoons. And the Philippines team members are just very used to constant sunshine and heat, and between kind of midday to 5 p.m they're much keener to be inside. So a lot of them ended up connecting around just having Netflix sessions in different people's rooms and just doing different events inside and different games. But that's something I didn't appreciate. And it's not a bad thing. You just need to be like, everyone's here to relax, connect and do different things. And it doesn't mean we all need to be together 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Amazing. And coming time to wrap up. So if you were talking to someone and a Canny Firm leader that's planning to run a team retreat in the next 12 months, what advice would you have for them, if you've got anything to share that might be different or new to what you've already mentioned?
Yeah, I'd say embrace a bit of the diversity and everyone's being different. And sometimes that means just making sure everyone feels comfortable in coming and participating as much as possible. So we had a team member initially, one of them said no to coming along, and it's because they have certain religious beliefs that or practices where they can't attend at certain times of the day. And they felt, I think in their own mind, they felt, oh, I don't want the company to have to pay for this if I can't attend a large amount of the retreat. Really just listening to team members, seeing what they need to bring their best self to the retreat. And we ended up having that in our pre-retreat kind of survey, you know, what just open-ended questions. What do you need from us to bring your best self to be there on the day? Because you're just not always aware of how a change of environment can make certain people anxious and other people a complete opposite, and they'll love to do anything at the drop of the hat. So just really hearing from people, open-ended style, what's going to make them be comfortable, I think was really useful and could be useful for your listeners.
Amazing. And what's next for Aerocanny? Have you got another retreat planned in the future? Where do you see yourself in the business in a couple of years' time?
Yeah, that's a big question. So definitely. So yeah, we'll be planning our retreat for the end of November this year shortly. We're beefing up our admin team a little bit to help out in that regards. I think one thing we learned was get a real committee behind this. Don't make it one or two people's job to organise this. Yeah, we'll definitely be doing that this year. We could be a larger team at that point. It's possible that we'll be 50 type team members at that point. That's another level up, another challenge for us. As a business, we're looking to just really work on that value proposition, what we're delivering to clients. And a large part of that is at the moment just making sure we've got really good offerings in certain niche industries and really exploring how we can deliver value in that fully outsourced finance piece. So that's a space we're working on a lot at the moment.
Fantastic. Well, Sean, thanks so much for coming on. It's been great chatting with you and really interesting hearing about how you've thought about running team retreats, but also just how you're thinking about running your accounting firm. So thanks so much.
No worries, Meryl. It's been really nice.
It was so good to have Sean on the show and talk about how to invest in your remote workforce by running an epic team retreat. One of my biggest takeaways was how important logistics are in making sure that everyone has a good time and is building relationships and connecting. So thinking about things like the accommodation and the spaces that are available for the team to connect with each other and in a smaller group setting, transport and making sure that everyone is comfortable considering the traffic in the Philippines and having things like music to set the tone and get team members participating and getting to know each other in another way. A specific piece of advice that I'm going to implement as we move towards having our team retreat in the Philippines later this year is planning in advance workload so that the entire team or as much of the team as we can does not need to do client work or respond to clients while we're at the retreat. So setting expectations in advance, preloading the work, so trying to get things done before the retreat or pushing things back to after the retreat so that everyone can be present. If you'd like to connect with Sean or find out more about Air Accounting, check out the show notes. And if you'd like to get in touch with us directly to find out more about the podcast, head on over to lifestyleaccountant.co. I'll see you next week.